Hello, and welcome to the Aquarian Spirals podcast, musings on astrology, cosmology, and soulful rooted spirituality, your guide to love soaked revolution and paradigm shift. Hello, welcome to episode 43, coming to you in mid-March 2024, because I have no idea when this episode is going to post, hopefully before eclipse season. I'm your host, Amanda Moreno, lover of nettle tea, honey, and good candles. So hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to go ahead and just start with announcements. We'll be talking mostly about, you know, the next month or so of astrology during this episode. So I want to go over eclipses, how to prepare for them, how to work with them, and just the astrology of it. But that'll also bring in Mercury retrograde in Aries and Mars and Saturn coming together in Pisces. So we have a lot to talk about, but I want to do some announcements first. So I have a class coming up about Pluto in Scorpio on April 13th. That's a Saturday. I did a lecture back in the fall about Pluto in Libra and the call to action. And, you know, as an evolutionary astrologer, Pluto is kind of my jam. But Pluto is a generational signature. And so this kind of series is meant as a toolkit for folks. And so it'll be good for Pluto and Scorpios and those who love them, but also just like astro fans or folks who have nodes on the Scorpio Taurus axis. You can get more information on my website, aquarianspirals.com. I also just wanted to mention that my Patreon tiers will be changing soon. And so I currently have a $20 a month level on my Patreon, which is freaking astoundingly amazing. It includes, you get a free session every 6 months. It includes a monthly astro circle, which is like, sometimes it's like a lecture, sometimes it's more workshoppy. It's always a space where we can come together and just talk about astrology. You get access to a monthly live full moon call with Q&A and hangout time. Both of these things are recorded. You get permission to email me with astrology questions. You get discounts on classes. You get discounts on year ahead readings. You get access to a Discord server with chats and divination swaps and chart clinics and hopefully upcoming book clubs. So all of that for $20. I will be closing that tier by the end of April. So if that's been something that you're interested in, please do head over and check that out. You can also just like join my Patreon at a different level to just support the work. That's cool too. And I guess thinking of that Discord server, I just kind of started it as an experiment about a month ago. So it's still kind of like figuring out what it is, but people are definitely in there chatting. I meant for it to be more just like a hangout space than a Patreon incentive. So like, if you don't want to do the Patreon thing, but you're curious about my Discord server, you like my vibe or whatever, please feel free to reach out. I will add you. You won't have access to all of the channels in there, but you'll have access to some. So just reach out if that is your jam. And so I think that's probably it by way of announcements for now. But I did just want to take a minute at the beginning of this to talk about a few things before I launch into eclipse season. So as I've kind of regrouped and moved into relaunching this podcast, I've done a lot of thinking about why I stopped and what this pause has been for me and what I want from this experience moving forward and what I'd like for you to get from this as well. And so I need to do a little check-in about my position with what's going on in the world, particularly in terms of the genocide in Gaza and everything constellating around that. And so, you know, my business, Aquarian Spirals, my practice as an astrologer and soul worker and teacher and mentor and all of these things has always been about helping people navigate their own stuff for the explicit purpose of transforming consciousness for the sake of healing the soul of the world. And I don't know if you know this, but that for the sake of healing the soul of the world was the motto of my grad school university. So, the first iteration of my business had business cards that said astrology and ritual design for the time of the great turning. So, in some ways, I feel lucky because everything I do is based in a belief that shit is and has been hitting the collective fan, and that there's not really anything I would rather do with my life than try to contribute in ever in whatever ways I can to helping to save the world, right? Like, not that that's something that I can do myself, but like, I don't know what else I would do with my life. So when things keep amplifying, I don't really have to change the foundations of what I'm doing. Astrology, has never been the point for me. It's just a really profound technology of consciousness that is set up with a language I understand and find really useful and beautiful and poetic. And, also it's really cool. But the point for me has always been collective liberation. Holding on to our humanity, finding our spark of genius, and trying to move forward into systems that work for everyone, for human life. And so when October 7th happened, through all of the fucked up events of the last several years, I have not been swayed in my mission and purpose. And it's not that October 7th swayed me, but the level of atrocity blew so many things open for me and put me in a process of grief and rage, unlike one I've ever been in. And I'm still in that, although I have gotten my footing and found my center again for the most part. And I've addressed it on different platforms, but I just need to say something here before moving forward. The work that I do has always been about collective liberation. My take on things always kind of carries that along with it. And so it's not a departure in any way for me to say that I am wholeheartedly and with my whole being against violent action perpetrated against groups of people, against humans. I'm always going to be against that. And I am always going to have a need to speak freely about the fact that what is happening in Gaza is genocide and is atrocity that is unconscionable and is unexcusable and 100% unjustifiable. What has been going on between Israel and Palestine has been going on for a very, very long time. And one of the things I've chosen to do in the last several months, woefully late, but better late than never, I guess, is to finally dig into that history so I can try and understand it better myself. Not so that I can teach others about it. That is not my function, no, nor am I qualified for that. But because I know that dismantling systems of oppression and colonization requires understanding those systems. I have felt very, very aware of the importance of bearing witness to what's going on while understanding that not everyone is able to do that. I don't know that I'm able to do it, but at a very fundamental level, I feel like one of the th only things I can do is to witness what's happening, especially in the face of such vast forces that are all at once trying to hide it and spin it at the same time as they are just getting away with atrocity and in plain sight. I'm also bearing witness because my country is funding this genocide, and because my tax dollars are going into that, and I need with every fiber of my being for that to stop. And so I'm trying to listen and pay attention and, contact representatives that aren't listening, and recognize that, all of this has been going on for too long. And I think part of the reason I'm calling all of this out here and now explicitly is because I have always been a person who processes publicly to some extent. I have started blogging when I was 17. In some ways, I need to share my process with all of this, or at least I need the option to. I have no idea how much I actually will. But of all the things that have gone down on the last over the last few years, witnessing genocide has been by far the most isolating and alienating. And of course, there's that growing awareness that Gaza is not the only genocide that's being perpetrated right now. But most of the people in my day-to-day life are just not in it in the ways that I am. Either because they can't be, or because they're numbed out, or because they are whatever. And the fact is that this has caused an extra 50 layers of grief and rage for me. I'm not able to look away, and I don't want to become numb to this. I don't know how to recover from this in a lot of ways. So I'm finding it hard to relate to many folks, and I figure many of you are probably having a similar experience, you know, with your own personal nuances. And so, you know, I have found incredible solace and solidarity through Instagram and threads and even TikTok, and through recognizing that as many practitioners there are who I know are just avoiding the F out of this topic, there are so many who aren't, and who are actually widening their scopes to other genocides, other atrocities, and we're figuring out how to be liberation-focused practitioners and humans together, and we are dismantling the notion of like what a heavy quotes healer should and should not talk about. And I have been so comforted by seeing practitioners who I have looked up to really face this with their platforms. I feel in some ways like I'm at a crisis point within myself of figuring out how or whether to keep existing in the world and the communities I've been inhabiting for the last 7 or so years. Because although I don't feel like all of my interactions with people have to discuss genocide and climate collapse and all the other things that I feel very aware of, I am, you know, surrounded by folks whose opinions I don't even know. I don't know if some of my people care or even aware, and I have found myself afraid to ask. And so, you know, I will probably talk about this stuff alongside the astrology, alongside the soul work, right? They go hand in hand. And so I guess I just want to reiterate again that I am always going to be against violent action perpetrated against humans. Just as I have been consistent with using my platform to hopefully educate and help people understand white supremacy and systems of oppression, and just as I have always dedicated the work I do with myself and with you to the complete liberation of all beings everywhere, I have been consistent in that I came of age during the 9/11 era. And in the years after that, I was 21 when 9/11 happened. And, you know, in the years after that, I was against the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Those were my very heavy quotes, radicalizing events, if you will. Although I don't think that they made me radical. I think they just made me understand the roots of my humanity and open my eyes to the way that a system that had very much benefited me got power and maintained power and maintains power to this day. And the beginning of the war in Iraq in particular was monumentally eye-opening for me. I marched and rallied and voted, and then realized that what I really needed to do was dedicate my life to trying to shift the hell out of a world where people with power come up with reasons to perpetrate atrocities onto humans. One person at a time for me, right? Like, I didn't feel like the marches and the rallies were doing what I wanted them to do. And so I knew that I just needed to do it through personal conversation and things like that. So, you know, I believe with my whole heart that the universe is fundamentally loving and connected and geared towards healing and equilibrium. And that the systems of nature and the world fundamentally strive to work together. And within that, you know, within all of these things, I have awareness, as many of you probably already know. I think you're probably sticking around for this reason, that I will never be an astrologer or soul worker who is able to leave politics out of it. And I really understand that that means that I might not be for everyone. And that is A-okay. And so, what I want for us to get out of this podcast and out of the work that we do together, if you do choose to work with me or if you're just listening, is really reconnection with the earth, with systems that remember equilibrium and harmony and with each other. I want us to reach for liberation and connectedness, and liberation from the entrenched power dynamics of this patriarchal hellscape. I want us to reach for the spark within that will help to change it all. I want to learn about cool shit and expand our minds and hearts together for the sake of collective liberation and dismantling systems of oppression. I want us to be able to reach for pleasure and rest as well. And so sometimes these topics will continue to come through loud and strong, and other times they won't. We'll just talk about Pisces or Taurus or whatever. But the point of what I do is still there, and I just needed to give that words and send out, a prayer that humanity can find and be resourced by empathy, compassion, and love. Okay, so let's talk about these eclipses. And, putting this podcast together has been a many day long process, which is not usually the case for me. Usually I'm kind of bouncing it around in my head for a while, but then I'll kind of like sit down and either write out a script or write out some notes and then record. And I think part of what's happening is that a couple things. Bear with me a minute here. I'm going to out loud process a little bit. A couple of things have been happening. One is that there's just so much astrology going on in the next month. The eclipse window technically is from March 25th to April 8th. And then there's just a lot of astrology happening, up until and through the end of April. And my original thought had been that I was going to cover all of that. And I think that would be doable in some ways. However, I have found that in some ways I am a bad astrologer because I don't want to talk about the same thing over and over again. So like my patrons are getting like one aspect of the eclipses, and then I did a full moon call earlier today. I'm recording this part on the 24th, where we did some kind of the personal work in regards to eclipses, and the grounding and centering and protecting. And then I wrote a newsletter about eclipses. And now I'm like, I don't want to say the same things I've already said. And I think that, to be a good podcaster, what I would do is really consider you, my dear audience. And in doing that, I would explain what eclipses are astronomically and astrologically, and I would take you through the nuts and bolts. But I've done that a lot, and I don't want to. And so I'm hoping that you'll just kind of bear with me, and I'm going to trust that you will go get what you need from other places, including even, I did a lunar nodes and eclipse episode last July that goes through the astronomy of the lunar nodes. I definitely did an eclipse episode last October, so it's all there. And the other thing that I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to focus on the eclipse window. I think I'm just going to have to come back and hopefully do a part two for the rest of April, unless it just pours out of me now. But that's going to keep it more wieldy and interesting for all of us. And I guess one of the things that I haven't done in any other forum, so what you're getting is going to be a little bit of, my take on the collective situation. Because eclipses are collective events. I mean, all transits are, right? Like where the stars are right now is impacting the entirety of the earth, not just individuals. And, as I've already said in this episode, I like to keep things collectively relevant. And so, before I kind of launch into that, let's just go through some details. We have a partial lunar eclipse occurring on March 25th at 12 a.m. It's like 12 o'clock and like 17 seconds. And that's taking place in 5 degrees of Libra. So the moon will be in Libra. The sun will be in Aries, also at 5 degrees. A lunar eclipse, a full moon eclipse, always takes place when the sun and the moon are opposite each other in the sky. And so if you were in a place where it was visible, what you would be seeing is essentially the sun shining towards the moon, but the earth is lined up in the middle. And so the earth is casting a shadow on the moon, eclipsing its light. And so lunar eclipses are essentially super potent full moons. We already know that full moons tend to be times where, you know, you feel the pull of the tides, or like the emergency room is full of activity, right? Emotions are just heightened. And so this would be the eclipse when we're looking more towards emotional shifts and changes, emotional revelation, emotional eclipsing, things like that. The second eclipse in this pair is going to be taking place on April 8th. And that one will be with the sun and the moon together in the sky, because it's a new moon eclipse, at 19 degrees. And so a solar eclipse, a new moon eclipse, is going to be more about external world events. Taking it up a notch, this first eclipse, the one on the 25th, is more about releasing, because it is a south node eclipse. So, you know, observing Libra patterns, relational patterns, relationship to people in your life, but also your personal narratives and scripts, also to relationship itself, also to relationship with all things, your relationship with balance and harmony. You know, people also often associate Libra with balance, but Libra is not in balance. Libra is seeking balance, and balance is not a static state. It's a process of adjustment. And with Libra, it is adjustment that comes through taking in new information. Remember, it's an air sign. And so with the second eclipse, the April 8th eclipse, that solar eclipse is going to be a north node eclipse in Aries. And so it really is speaking very loudly to what is being initiated. And what is my relationship to fierceness and courage? And, you know, both of these eclipses have a lot to say about justice. So justice and diplomacy, sure, but justice and fighting for what is just as well. And so, full disclaimer here, you might notice a shift in my voice, and that is because that last segment was the last part of the podcast that I originally recorded that actually went through. I learned that after that, there was just 30 minutes of dead air. And so, now, a day later, in the morning, so this is my morning voice, I am going to attempt to re-record and recreate what I had said, which is, you know, another nudge towards actually scripting these things. But I'm just going to trust that you will get the podcast that you need now. And so kind of picking up where I just left off with this notion of justice, I think that, you know, one of the things to pay attention to with the South Node eclipse, you know, so this first eclipse that we're having, this eclipse in Libra, I'll use the term decreasing for the South Node and releasing for the South Node. And I also see folks using, you know, South Node as being a point of kind of spiritual maintenance that needs to happen, or spiritual tending that needs to happen. And I don't see these things as conflicting, because I think that the South Node can require a level of contemplation. And one of the things to contemplate with this Libra South Node eclipse, or, you know, during our time with the South Node in Libra in general, which goes through the rest of this year, is, you know, performative justice. Libra is really highly attuned to the space between things, the energy between things, air between things, but also to, you know, conventional notions of what is polite, what is appropriate, what is heavy quotes civilized. And as such, it can become really performative. And sometimes those performances really help. Those performances can be, you know, connecting principles. Like when you walk into a room and you're feeling uncomfortable and somebody comes over and approaches you maybe with an icebreaker or like an offer of some kind of connection. Libra is so good at that. Side note, I was recently listening to the Emerald podcast, as I'm wont to do, and one of the kind of like takeaway quotes from that was that civilization is precisely that which banishes the mysterious. Ooh. And within the cardinal cross, which Aries and Libra are a part of, but also Cancer and Capricorn, we have this principle of conditioning. And so it brings in the shoulds. That's kind of goes behind, you know, what is most appropriate? What is most civilized? What should I do? What should I look like? What should I perform? And I think that, you know, a lot of times in justice-oriented circles, we do see performance. And that's something that gets called out a lot, right? Like performing advocacy or performing wokeness. Or performing awareness, which is different from actually like living through the behaviors that back these things up. And so, you know, one of the kind of core questions to contemplate for this eclipse window, but around this first eclipse in particular, is what roles do I play and why? It's not just a matter of like excavating the roles that you play and then like condemning them as bad. You want to see where they come from. What is the root of things? And is it still congruent with what you want your life to be and what you want this world to be? Are you someone who always maintains silence? Why? Maybe the first script that comes up is, well, because I want to hear all points of view. Or, oh, you know, I want to hold space for other people's opinions. Those aren't inherently bad things, but have they become tools that just help you to maintain comfort? Okay, and so, you know, Plutonian astrology here, everything I do is about kind of like digging into where things came from so that we can see the full processes behind them. And so, you know, this is like, what is our relationship to justice? What does justice mean? Is justice something that is only carried out by courts of law? Is justice something that has to be carried out by people in the streets? Is justice, like, what does justice feel like? Why is it important? You know, in the society I live in, who tends to have heavy quotes justice carried out and who doesn't? There is a lot of unjust behavior baked into our institutions. And so, you know, with the Libra eclipse, I think another thing to keep in mind is that it is ruled by Venus and Pisces. And so this brings in kind of like, if you think of Venus and Pisces as being an access point or a facilitator or the, you know, the planetary energy that's kind of giving the North Node its marching orders, there is something about the necessity of feeling. Venus and Pisces feels everything. And so this might indicate that like you're having, you know, you're feeling emotions, maybe in good ways, maybe in bad ways, but I think those emotions have a lot of information, don't they always? Sure. But they're going to be telling you more about what needs to be released or what needs to be tended in this window. You know, sometimes releasing is a process that needs some tending and some support, you know, and I think that that's another really good point about eclipses. I see a lot of fear-mongering about eclipses and, you know, anybody who's had a doozy of an eclipse experience is probably going to feel a little anxious about eclipses, especially if they're, you know, following astrology and tracking that the eclipses are kind of like, up in their business in terms of their chart, right? And so it can be a challenge to kind of hold recognition of what has happened alongside of a need to like hold the potentials very lightly. And so how can you support your system through this? How can you support any releasing processes that need to happen? Because eclipses are checkpoints along the path. They are gateways. They bring in necessary adjustments. And I'm going to kind of, that's very much at the personal level. When we look at eclipses at the bigger picture level, I don't know how much of this is a necessary adjustment. I mean, that gets into some philosophical quandaries that I'm not quite prepared to go into at this moment because I have not had coffee. But if we go back to this kind of like, Pisces Venus ruling this eclipse, and we're talking about relationship and relational patterns, Pisces Venus is a beautiful thing because it is, unadulterated, pure connection. It is intimately in relationship with the way that things are all connected, and it longs for that. And speaking as a Venus Pisces native, Venus and Pisces also puts on rose-colored glasses. Venus and Pisces elevates people onto pedestals and then leaves them there, sometimes past the time where they have shown that they, maybe need to be taken down a notch. Venus and Pisces will devote to people and ideals, ideals like justice, and get so caught up in the fantasy of the thing that they fail to see the reality of the thing. And then the bubble pops and there's existential crisis and despair. I can imagine, I've experienced this in some ways, like holding teachers up to a really high standard and then they fall from grace. Or even just like if you are an extremely patriotic person and you believe in the country that you were born in, or you believe in your religion with all your heart, and then you see the things that are done in the name of your religion, or you see the things that are done in the name of your country, you have choices there. They're probably all going to involve emotions, right? But you can keep believing anyway. You can justify what is being done. You can say that it's being done in the name of justice. But what is the line? And at what point do you transition into love that is fierce and says, I believe in these things, and these institutions, these religions, these countries cannot commit these atrocities in the name of this belief because it is contrary to it. Okay? And so this is where we get into accountability. And accountability can be a strength of Libra. Sometimes Libra shies away from it because it can be seen as disrupting the peace, disrupting the harmony. But ultimately, accountability actually serves to keep balance and keep harmony. We don't get this kind of intense polarization that we see between, good and evil, essentially. And so, obviously these are themes that can show up in your personal life in a variety of ways, but are also loudly showing up at the collective level. And so eclipses are kind of, they are storylines that that cover approximately an 18-month period. And so this set of eclipses was initiated last spring. And then we saw the next set, October 14th to 28th. And we have another set now. We'll have another set next fall, and then one next spring. And at the kind of, logistical level, I just want to point out that of all those eclipse windows that I just mentioned, the one that we are currently in is the only one where both eclipses are on the Aries-Libra axis. Aries and Libra have been sharing these eclipses. The first two were with Taurus Scorpio, and the next two will be with Virgo Pisces. So this is our the time when we're getting unadulterated Virgo, I'm sorry, Libra Aries. And there is something very fierce about this window and initiatory and almost like feral in some ways and unwieldy. And so you might see through lines in terms of the stories of your life during this time, particularly if you have a lot of cardinal points in your chart. But you can also pay attention to it in terms of what houses contain Aries and Libra. If you're using whole sign houses, that's going to be just, two houses, an axis of houses. If you are using a quadrant-based house system or something like Porphyry, it might be four different houses you're dealing with. But, you can track it at the personal level that way to kind of get a sense of where this Libra releasing, tending, supporting action needs to happen. If it's a fourth house south node eclipse for you, there could be stuff arising related to fourth house themes, family, early emotional environment, maybe some awareness of roles that you have played since you were a child. It's not so easy to just say like release those, right? Okay, what is needed to help support the process of healing that, feeling that, decreasing it? But at the world level, right, we know that at least with these October eclipses, that is when, October 7th happened just before that eclipse window opened. And we see a nightmarish increase of raw Aries. I'm not saying that, Aries people are this way, but the energy of Aries, in one of its forms, is just raw violence. That is not all of that archetype, but that is one of it. And one thing to keep in mind is that as we have the North Node going through Aries, the North Node is about a lot of things, but at a very just simple, practical, neutral level, it is about increase. We have cultural conventions around increase being good. Right? But think of wildfires. Wildfires are so Aries because fire is so contagious and it just consumes. It obliterates, right? It is not thinking. It is not pausing. It is just jumping. It is just spreading. Okay? And so with the North Node in Aries, particularly at the level of the collective, which is different from when you're working with astrology at a personal level. When you are participating, when you are thinking, when you are feeling, when you are moderating and observing and adjusting and editing. At the collective level, this energy is very different and it is incendiary. It is, the head of the dragon, which does not have the stomach with which to assimilate and integrate. It gets away with itself, it's highly reactive. And so it is highly likely that pivotal moments in this experience, in this storyline of, genocide being perpetrated by a country that was attacked, is going to see turning points during this eclipse window. I don't know which way that will go, right? Like I woke up this morning to see that the UN had passed a resolution for a ceasefire. The US, of course, abstained, but then I'm seeing that it's actually a temporary ceasefire. And again, that's making me think of performative justice. Where are the actions? Where are the behaviors? And so one of the things with this, Aries North Node storyline, we don't have a ton of power in terms of stopping what's happening, although I think we have more than we think. But you can think about what you do with raw anger. Where does that live within you? And also, how can that anger, how can that be react, how can that reaction be wielded as energy that can help to fight for justice? In that way, that Aries spark can be really solidifying. But that also brings us to the second eclipse, which is on April 8th. I am just switching my charts right now. And that eclipse is, the chart is just highly initiatory. It has Venus, the North Node, Sun, Moon, Chiron, and Mercury in Aries. And it has a Mars Saturn conjunction. Granted, they're in Pisces, but Mars Saturn is one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake, very like frustrated energy. It could be incredible internal, combustion engine essentially that can help to get a lot done, but it can also be highly frustrating. And this chart is ruled by that Mars in Pisces, which, like a very concrete, like metaphor symbolism here would be like attack through water. But, Mars and Pisces can also be fiercely attuned to justice for the sake of the collective, like spiritual justice. Now, the spiritual system we're talking about is going to determine what that looks like. We are living in a world where we have many major religions that believe that they are the chosen ones and they will fight for that. That is their spiritual justice. I have a right to this. I am entitled to this. In my world, spiritual justice has more to do with reverence for the earth that we live on and each other. And that reverence comes with the belief that all humans are worthy, and deserving of life and a standard of living and respect and compassion and all of those things. Like that's what I fight on behalf of essentially. And these things may be totally different for you. So again, I just always encourage you to listen to concepts that I or any other astrologer are putting forward and find how they are alive within you and where that awareness came from. This second eclipse also takes place in the middle of a Mercury retrograde. And so Mercury is going to station retrograde in 27 degrees of Aries on April 1st, April Fool's Day. And it will go retrograde until April 25th, I believe, in the 20, I'm sorry, in the 15th degree of Aries. And so Mercury is going to make contact with that Chiron and that Sun and that Moon, and that it's going to station a conjunction with the North Node. What do you really want to fight for? What is the power within you wanting to support in this world? What are you being initiated into? And what are we being initiated into as a collective? Mercury in Aries is going to be stationing in an exact square with the degree of the United States Pluto and Pluto return. Like that storyline isn't going anywhere. This fight for the soul of this nation is still highly active. Pluto will be retrograding back into Capricorn. It won't come into a conjunction with itself again, but it's going to be going back into Capricorn September, October, and November. That covers eclipse season. So in some ways, like what I want to say is just like there is still time. There is still time to reclaim the soul of this country, and within that, the soul of ourselves, and what's happening in the world right now is a very intense dehumanization process. And that does not mean that like everyone is staunchly and vocally dehumanizing folks, but what does it mean to turn away from what is happening? There are a lot of reasons that people turn away. It is too much. People have mental health crisis, people have families and all of that. And also, what does it mean to turn away? Right? How do we reach for each other and for connection? There's the Libra South Node again. And so this Mercury retrograde, the retrograde through a fire sign, which all of the Mercury retrogrades this year are through fire signs, is, at a basic level about reviewing relationship to vision, relationship to instinct, relationship to courage, our relationship to what we're afraid of and how we face those fears or don't. You know, it's all a choice. Or maybe it's not all a choice, but what is your relationship to initiations that you've gone through in your life? What has kept you from expressing yourself in the ways that you want to or you need to? What fundamentally sparks life and inspiration and insight and the instinct to thrive within you? Mercury retrogrades are times of review. At the collective level for this retrograde, OMG, I don't know. I mean, it's dovetailing with this eclipse window and this Mars-Saturn conjunction, which I feel like the astrology of the rest of April, so post-April 8th, needs its own podcast. And so I will try to make that happen. But I do want to just, say here, eclipses can be about really good things too. They are about endings and beginnings. They are about shadow, right? Like, think about the mechanics of it even. What causes an eclipse is a shadow. With a solar eclipse, it's because the moon is moving in front of the sun in such a way that it blocks its light. In a lunar eclipse, it's because the earth is positioned between the two luminaries in such a way that as the sun shines its light towards the earth is casting a shadow on the moon. Okay, so eclipses are about shadows, but within that, it's also, what is coming to light? What is being seen in a new light? What is a new perspective that arises? Again, like, what needs to be released and tended? And in, the mythologies around eclipses or around, the head and tail of the dragon, there's often tales of, this being a time when two beings, the head and the tail, or, two groups of deities or whatever it might be, come together to churn the waters. They churn the waters. So we can think of that as the emotional realms. We can think about that as, shaking things up so that what has been hidden can be seen so that it can be tended to. They are gateways and windows that catalyze necessary change. So what we get to do is let that change happen to the best of our ability. Now, I'm talking specifically about your personal life, particularly in terms of like new beginnings and endings. Would I say that like what we have to do at the bigger picture is let it happen? No, I wouldn't say that. But this is getting into, again, like deeper philosophical stuff. What do we have control over and what do we not have control over? Eclipses are, intersections of fate and free will and are links to the past and the future. And so, again, just rebalancing our relationship to relationships, rebalancing how we understand ourselves in our emotional worlds, and letting go when and where we need to. And so, pay attention to desire, assertiveness, will, inflammation, drink water, get extra rest during eclipse windows, especially if your system is feeling taxed, especially as you're able to. Pay attention to things that come up around your conditioning. Question your own go-to perspectives. What are you performing? A little bit of do's and don'ts, like definitely engage in practices that help you stay centered, grounded, and present. I can't remember if this is in the part of the old podcast that survived or not, but one of the things I said, and maybe saying again, is that before every eclipse window, I get together with my patrons, and we just do an energy reset. We just do a little bit of, well, it's actually more intense than normal, but grounding and centering and energetic clearing and protecting of ourselves and our the spaces that we live in. And that's, not as much because I think like, oh no, nasty eclipse air energy gonna get you, have to keep it out. Sometimes that's a little bit the case, but mostly it's because when we're grounded, centered, and have a level of protection, energetic protection, or wards, or whatever it is that you use, you're better able to hear yourself. You're better able to contact your intuition and that part of you that knows, and the part of you that can guide you, not through fear, not through anxiety, not through activation, but that still small voice within. And so regular grounding centering practices become more important during eclipse windows, or more helpful, I should say. Prioritizing sleep and rest. If you're one of those people who gets super activated and can't sleep during eclipse windows or around full moons, what can you, that's not just something that's inevitable and has to happen to you. Can you take magnesium or melatonin? Can you shut off the screens a little bit early just for this 2 week period of time? You want to think about, how can I help this? How can I support myself through this? Sometimes it can be helpful to do things like setting reminders in your phone to help you remember that you're in eclipse window. Got activation? Take some breaths. You're in eclipse window. Remember that it will, close in 2 weeks. Like whatever little helpful notes you can send to yourself. I don't recommend doing energy work in terms of like ritual or spell casting. To each their own. The reason that I recommend that is because I don't know what level of, witchcraft or magic or occultism or whatever it is you are at. And to me, I think that, the doing, ritual or charging of objects can just invite a little bit more chaos than I personally would like for myself or you. But if you want to charge a freaking talisman or crystal with eclipse energy, you do you. I say it because eclipses are going to eclipse. I don't know that they need the help. I don't know that they need the extra boost. But if you're into it, I think sometimes it's how we learn. Another tip, remember that, everyone is in this eclipse window. So even if you're like, I feel fine, I feel great, I don't know what's going on. People around you might be experiencing it in a very different way, and that can impact you too. And it's very similar to like, even if you're not experiencing an astrological transit that everybody's like, oh, this is really intense, they're experiencing it. World leaders are experiencing it, right? So we are all connected. Try to lean into dissonance and paradox as much as you can rather than polarizing. So just kind of like hold the tension of what you're experiencing if you can to see if there is a new option that arises. And then, once the eclipse window closes, it'll be closing this time with a new moon, which is kind of nice. I like when they close with the new moon instead of a full moon because I feel like that kind of like seals the lunar cycle. After that April 8th eclipse, sweep out your house, clean out your house, clean the windowsills, sweep the floors, vacuum the floors, wash your bedding, refresh, reset. And then, if you're a person who does energetic shielding or wards or whatever, redo them, give them a little love. Okay. I guess in closing, just a couple things. One, this re-recorded version of the podcast is definitely better. I don't know if it gets into like the astrology as much as the other one did, but I like it better. So hopefully you do too. You'll never know. Two, if this is stuff that if you are, needing to talk more or you're needing more insight, of course, I do sessions with people. I do them all the time. I happen to be an expert in the nodes. It is what I focus on. Through evolutionary astrology. I do have a discount available through the end of this month. You can use code ECLIPSE to get 20% off an initial consult with me. That is unheard of. That code is also good for somatic exploration sessions and relationship consults, which are sessions with two people in a relationship of any kind. We go over synastry and composite charts from the evolutionary perspective. It's good times. You are also welcome to join my Patreon and get access to my Discord server where people are chatting about things. You're also welcome to just reach out and email me. I might have already said this, but you're also welcome to just reach out and email me if you want access to that Discord server. You won't get access to all of the channels, so like the chart clinics and the divination swaps and things like that, but you can, you know, just be there and see what's there. One other thing, if you like this podcast, if you like my work, please share it. I am definitely, you know, reliant on you sharing things for word of mouth. That is how I've built my business, is through word of mouth. And so I always appreciate those shares. They go very far. And or leave a review. That is great too. So in closing, I just wanted to share with you something that I came across last night. Like before I went to bed, I was doing a little bit of divination and I ended up pulling a card just to kind of like give me a, you know, something to focus on and work with for this eclipse window. And I ended up pulling the Hermit card, and in the deck I'm working with, which is the Mary L. Tarot, M-A-R-Y-E-L, which is very intense. It's a very like I pull it out of its coverings and I'm just like, whoa, that's some energy right there. It's very intense. It's all these oil paintings, but it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous rendition of this card. And the author and painter starts every major arcana card with like a quote. And I just want to read you this one. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's by Victor Hugo. So we're going to be talking about men a lot, but we can insert humans. In each age, men of genius undertake the ascent. From below, the world follows them with their eyes. These men go up the mountain, enter the clouds, disappear, reappear. People watch them, mark them. They walk by the side of precipices. They daringly pursue their road. See them aloft, see them in the distance. They are but black specks. On they go. The road is uneven. Its difficulties constant. At each step a wall, at each step a trap. As they rise, the cold increases. They must make their ladder, cut the ice, and walk on it, hewing the steps in haste. A storm is raging. Nevertheless, they go forward in their madness. The air becomes difficult to breathe. The abyss yawns before them. Some fall. Others stop and retrace their steps. There is a sad weariness. The bold ones continue. They are eyed by the eagles. The lightning plays about them. The hurricane is furious. No matter, they persevere. Okay, friends. Eclipse blessings to you now and always. And just wanting to state that, per usual, the work I do here, the work we do together, and hopefully the work on you do on your own, is dedicated to the complete liberation and supreme enlightenment of all beings everywhere. Immediamente. That means immediately. Okay, see you next time.